Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schultz, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. And then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me as a man is wakened from his sleep, and he asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid golden lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the lights. Also there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And he answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. And so he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone, the shouts of God bless it, God bless it." And then the word of the Lord came to me, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it, and then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you have given to us. We thank you that it's your infallible word and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. And now, O Father, as we study your word, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Is the church finished with its work on earth? Modern day prophets call for a soon coming rapture to swish the church away. Are these prophets giving us the true message of God? Has Jesus finished building his church? Has the church come to completion already? If we listen to the escapist theologians and the modern-day prophets, we would think that Jesus is about finished with his work. Has the kingdom of God in this world reached a point of completion? There are multitudes of people in the world who know not Christ and whole nations that do not acknowledge him. Yet the psalmist, looking into the future, declared, "All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name." The psalmist also, under the name of Zion, announces the glorious future of the church and the bringing into it of the nations. He says, "He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, 'This one was born in Zion.' Indeed, of Zion it will be said, 'This one and that one were born in her,' and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, 'This one was born in Zion.'" Isaiah looks forward to the glorious days of the church when he says, "In the last days the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it." Isaiah again looks ahead to the glorious days of the church yet to come when he says, "They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Again, Isaiah says, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Isaiah looks ahead to the glorious days of the church and proclaims, For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. In spite of today's prophets of doom, the prophets of long ago looked ahead and saw the glorious days of the church and the bringing in of all nations to participate in her glory. Today's attitude toward the church by many falls far short of the visions of the Old Testament prophets. Today's prophets see only defeat ahead for the church, to such an extent that she will have to be rescued and raptured away and turn the kingdoms of this world over to Satan. This is not from the Lord who builds his church and never forsakes her. This is not from the Lord who will defeat all his and her enemies and bring the church through to victory. Today we need to get our eyes off of this so-called coming rapture and get our eyes on what God intends for his church in this age. Zerubbabel was called by God to build a new temple. The obstacles were great, the enemies were mean, and yet God promised Zerubbabel that the temple would be completed. Our text is Zechariah 4 and verses 6 through 9, which says this: And so he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it, and then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord will build his church to completion. As Zerubbabel would build the temple in Jerusalem, so the Lord Jesus will build his spiritual temple, the church. He will bring it to completion, and it will be glorious. Now let us see in the first place the building of the temple. It would be built by the power of God. Again, verse 6 says, And so he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It would not be by Zerubbabel's strength that the temple would be built. It would be by the mighty power of God's spirit. Colin Daylich writes, That is to say, through this vision, Zerubbabel is informed that it namely the work which Zerubbabel has taken in hand or has to carry out will not be affected by human strength, but by the Spirit of God. And Matthew Henry writes, But he will do it, not by human might or power, but by his own Spirit. It was by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts that the people were excited and animated to build the temple. And therefore they are said to be helped by the prophets of God, because they, as the Spirit's mouth, spoke to their hearts. The temple would be built, but not because the Jews were a powerful people, but because God would enable them by his power to accomplish the task he had called them to. The enemies would be overcome. Verse 7 says, What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become level ground. There was a mountain to be conquered. There was opposition to this temple being built by the enemies of God. Yet Zerubbabel would overcome them by the Spirit of God. Colin Daylich writes, The great mountain before Zerubbabel is to become a plain, not by human power, but by the Spirit of Jehovah. And then they write, The great mountain, therefore, is apparently a figure denoting the colossal difficulties which rose up mountain high at the continuation and completion of the building of the temple. The difficulties would be overcome, and the mission would be accomplished, but by the mighty power of God. The temple would be completed. Verse 7 says, then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord gives the assurance that the temple would be completed. Zerubbabel would most assuredly put the last stone on the building, and it would be gloriously completed. Colin Day, that's right. The capstone is the finishing or gable stone. That these words refer to the finishing of the building of the temple, which Zerubbabel had begun, is placed beyond all doubt by verse 9. And Matthew Henry says, the general intention of this vision, without a critical descant upon every circumstance of the vision, the design of it is to assure the prophet, and by him the people, that this good work of building the temple should, by the special care of divine providence and the immediate influence of divine grace, be brought to a happy issue. Though the enemies of it were many and mighty, and the friends and fathers of it few and feeble, the temple was completed. In Ezra 6 and verse 14 it says, so the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. You see, God kept his promise. The temple could not be stopped, and it was completed. Now let us see in the second place the building of the spiritual temple, the church. The church is the spiritual temple. For it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 9, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. The church is the temple of God. Colin Daylich writes, for it is evident from what follows that the passage refers to something greater than this, namely to the finishing of the building of the temple that has already begun. Or to express it briefly and clearly, that the building of the temple of stone and wood is simply regarded as a type of the building of the kingdom of God. And then they say, this house is the kingdom of God, symbolized by the temple, which was to be built by Zerubbabel, not by human might and power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. The building of the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Lord has given the Holy Spirit to the church to empower it to win the nations to Christ. This spiritual temple of the church is built by the empowering of God's Spirit. John Calvin writes, and might and power, being a part of the whole, are to be taken for all helps which are exclusive of God's grace. It is indeed certain that God acts not always immediately or by himself, for he employs various means and makes use in his service of the ministrations of men. But his design is only to teach us that we are very foolish. When we look around us, here and there, or vacillate, or when, in a word, various hopes and various fears and various anxieties affect us. For we ought to be so dependent on God alone as to be fully persuaded that his grace is sufficient for us, though it may not appear. Nay, we ought fully to confide in God alone. Though poverty and want surround us on every side, this is the purport of the whole. The church is built not by our own power, but by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Matthew Henry writes, "The gospel temple is built, not by might or power, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts, whose work on men's consciences is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Thus the excellency of the power is of God and not of man. When instruments fail, let us therefore leave it to God to do his work himself by his own Spirit." And then let us see that the enemies of the church will be overcome, as Zerubbabel would overcome his enemies, and the mountains of difficulties would be leveled before him. So the church will overcome its enemies and difficulties. In Matthew 16:18, it says, Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Satan and all his forces will not be able to stop the church. That's what Jesus was saying. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, it says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. And then the end will come, when he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Christ will reign until he has defeated all his and our enemies. Christ is reigning now. This is not some future reign, but his present reign. And this reign will be victorious over his enemies." John Calvin writes, "This is the word of Jehovah to Zerubbabel, saying, Here the angel bears witness to what I have shortly referred to, that the power of God alone is sufficient to preserve the church, and there is no need of other helps, for he sets the Spirit of God in opposition to all earthly aids, and thus he proves that God borrows no help for the preservation of his church, because he abounds in all blessings to enrich it. Father, by the word Spirit, we know is meant his power, as though he had said God designs to ascribe to himself alone the safety of his church. And though the church may need many things, there is no reason why it should turn its eyes here and there, or seek this or that help from men, for all abundance of blessings may be supplied by God alone." And then he says, "When therefore we now see things in a despairing condition, let this vision come to our minds, that God is sufficiently able by his own power to help us. When there is no aid from any other, for his Spirit will be to us for lamps, for porous, and for olive trees. So that experience will at length show that we have been preserved in a wonderful manner by his hand alone." And Matthew Henry says, "Faith will remove mountains and make them plains. Christ is our Zerubbabel. Mountains of difficulty were in the way of his undertaking, but before him they were all leveled. Nothing is too hard for his grace to do." And then let us see that the church will be completed. Christ will bring it about. Satan cannot stop the church. It will prevail. Colin Daylitt's right. And as he will finish the building of the earthly temple, so will the true Zerubbabel, the Messiah, the servant of Jehovah, build the spiritual temple and make Israel into a candlestick, which is supplied with oil by two olive trees, so that its lamps may shine brightly in the world. Jesus Christ came and set up his kingdom, and he is now ruling over and empowering his church to spread his kingdom throughout the world, and he will not cease until his mission is complete. Now let us see in the third place that the church advances by the Spirit of God. At Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit in a mighty way to empower his church to go into all the world with the gospel. In Acts 2 and verse 14 it says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of that great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" This whole passage refers to Pentecost and the pouring out of the Spirit on the church and the subsequent carrying forth of the gospel into the world. By the end of the book of Acts, the gospel had already arrived in Rome and was even in Caesar's household. The gospel advanced everywhere from Pentecost onward. There were enemies, though, who opposed the church, just as those who opposed Zerubbabel in the building of the temple. There was the Jewish persecution in the early days, and then there were the great Roman persecutions, and then Satan attacked from within the church and by false prophets, and yet the church could not be stopped. The church advanced by the power of God. The Jewish persecution was brought to an end at 70 A.D. in the destruction of Jerusalem. The Roman persecution was brought to an end by Constantine when the whole Roman Empire became Christian. The deception and corruption from within the church was gloriously brought to an end at the Reformation. The church has continued to march forward as God has sent great and mighty revivals, such as during the time of the Puritans in the 17th century, the Great Awakening and the Evangelical Revival in the 18th century, resulting later in the beginning of the modern missionary movement, and then the Second Great Awakening and more missions in America in the 1858-59 revival in America and Britain, and further advances for missions. The church has not been stopped. It may grow weak at times, but it will recover by God's mighty power. Heman Humphrey, in writing about the Second Great Awakening in America, said, "Hundreds and thousands of churches connected with the various evangelical denominations in all parts of the country were visited and blessed by the gracious outpourings of the Spirit, notices of which constantly appeared in the weekly and other periodicals for a score of years. Such revivals are still yet possible and will still yet come. The church will prevail not by its own power, but by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. We're living in a time of great spiritual and moral decay, but it will not stay that way. We must believe that God is able by His Spirit to revive His church again, just as He did at the time of the Reformation, when it looked as if all were lost. And then God, by His mighty Spirit, raised up His spokesman in men like Martin Luther and John Calvin and others. The church was born again, The centuries of decay in almost a moment were wiped away by the mighty preaching of the Word of God, and it can happen again. May God send a mighty revival of His church in our day. And even now, God may be speaking to your heart. He may be prompting you by His Spirit to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. Then you must repent at once and cast yourself completely on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him into your life. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that in our day, in this day of moral and spiritual decay, that You will have mercy and that You would send forth Your Holy Spirit in a mighty way as You did at the time of the Reformation. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that You would come and visit us again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Our web address is www.watchmanradio.org. That's watchmenradio.org. www.watchmanradio.org.